Hi everybody, Tyler here. This is a special little episode. I had the opportunity to sit down with Ryan from ninlive.com. Ninlive is an archive of live recordings of Nine Inch Nails performances. Some of these are recordings from official sources and soundboard recordings, but most of them are fan-made recordings from the audience at live shows. In our discussion, we talked about the current state of the archive, Trent Reznor's stance on fan-recorded shows, and the future of Ninlive. Some of the questions that I asked are from you, the listeners. I wanted to make sure to attribute them, and you can find them in the episode notes. One last thing that I feel like I should bring up and temper expectations at the start. I had a lot of questions from listeners about the recent Saigon Vietnam show from 1995. If you aren't familiar, this is reported to be the final show by the band The Nine Inch Nails and has connections to the HBO Watchmen series. I asked Ryan before we began recording how much he was willing to reveal, and he said that he wasn't ready to talk about that yet. Trust me, I had a lot of questions about that myself, but I respect Ryan's decision to keep some things to himself. The 7th Cavalry is not an organization that I want to stir up. If you want to know more about the 95 Saigon show, the link to the post on the archive is in the show notes. I had a great time talking with Ryan, and I hope you enjoy it just as much as I did. So, Ryan, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
So, I'm familiar with the archive, but could you give a brief rundown on what it is?
So, pretty much what it is, it only is around Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails' work. So, any sort of side project that Trent has done, it kind of goes through every tour from 1988 up until the present one in 2018. And you can pretty much download any source that is available on the internet that I've compiled or people have sent to me from on email or Dropbox or anything like that. And there's, I think right now there's over 1,100 audio sources from, you know, over 1,000 concerts. Not every show has their own audio recording, but you know, it's a good amount. You have multiple sources for certain nights, and then video. I think right now we've got like, I want to say like 160 or 70 video sources. I'm slowly adding those, and I still got a little bit more to go, but you know, you can download any of it for free off the internet. And, you know, it's everything is readily available and organized and stuff like that. So that's pretty much the basic overview of the archive.
And that's awesome that you're doing that. And it's just you, correct?
Yeah, just me. I had some people start at the beginning. They helped me compile the NIN drive and everything like that. And we'll probably talk a little bit more about that. But no one really has a lot of drive to do it. I mean, you know, they get excited to do it for, you know, a good amount of time, maybe, you know, a week or two, and then interest starts to fall off. And, you know, I also understand that life, you know, is more important than doing this website. So I just kind of do it as a hobby and, you know, stress relief and just kind of get my mind off things. So, you know, I know that I'll consistently do it. So after a few times of just seeing people drop off, I just realized that this is probably a one-man show. And, you know, if I do need any help, I will reach out to people.
And how long have you been doing it? When did it start?
So I started in 2008. I bought the domain in December of 2008. And I really didn't start making it an archive. I really just wanted it to be a source guide initially because I didn't have any approval from the band or anything like that. So it really just started off as, you know, you had all the tour dates from the past, you know, up to that point to 2008. So 20 years or so. And then from there, you know, I would put like a 30-second sample of the recording, but I, you know, didn't have any access to doing that. So that's kind of when it started.
And what made you really want to start archiving Nine Inch Nails?
So I started taping concerts when I was, 12, 13 years old. You know, I'm a big Depeche Mode fan. That's kind of how I started. I found some, you know, recordings, you know, they were called bootlegs at the time. And I just wanted to know more. I got involved a little bit with that. I met some, you know, other tapers on the internet when I was that age, and they kind of gave me some pointers on what I should do. And that's kind of how it all started. And then, you know, Nine Inch Nails started touring in 2005, and there was just so many sources coming out. And initially I wanted to do something for Depeche Mode, but I just decided not to, because, you know, we don't have to get into it, but some of the tapers and traders of you know, music, it gets a little political, and they put, you know, you know, a currency on a live recording, and it just gets kind of frustrating. So, you know, that these people have these tapes, but they won't share them out. So it's kind of a bummer. So I kind of backed away from that, and everyone in the Nine Inch Nails community would just share their recordings, and I thought it was awesome. And, you know, I honestly think that Nine Inch Nails puts on the best show out of any band out there. And I was like, you know what, someone's got to put all these sources together. So that's why I started, why I wanted to do it, just to have something, some organization kind of deal.
Yeah, know? I've been a fan since 2005, 2006, and every fan that I've interacted with has been great. Mm-hmm. How big is the archive, either by gigs or shows or tracks?
Oh, man, I couldn't even tell you. Hold on. I'm actually at, you know, we're doing this on the computer, so I can kind of tell you what the, so right now the whole archive, just audio, is 689 gigabytes. That's about 25,000 files. So, you know, those files, there's also, you know, some verification files in each one of these shows. So, you know, you could cut that a little bit in half, but I would say probably there's probably still 20,000 songs or whatever.
Yeah, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, and then I'm still working on the video drive of it at the moment, and that itself, and there's only 180 shows on there at the moment, but that's about 630 gigabits of video footage. So there's some, you know, HD footage in there. There's some DVDs and everything like that. So yeah, it's pretty big, and it's just been getting bigger over the years, especially because now people are aware of the archive, which is great. And, you know, people will send me recordings instead of me having to do all the work, which is awesome. And it just, you know, I have a little bit more time to just post things instead of searching for them. So that's great.
At this point, what is the process for you to put things on the site? Are the people sending you tapes or CDs, or are you getting files like MP3s or WAV to just upload directly onto the site?
So usually people will send me recordings, like they'll track them themselves, which is great. And then I pretty much just have to, you know, tag them and then properly make sure that all the tracks are in the right spot. There's, you know, some like an example is like during the Great Destroyer, some people might track split that differently, where like the breakdown is its own track. And I just try and keep all of the songs in the same order, and just be as detailed as possible. So I'll make like a text file that has like the equipment, the set list, you know, who the taper is, kind of thing like that. And that's pretty much it. And then, you know, just decode or encode to FLAC. And then there's a naming nomenclature for the archive. So, you know, you have the band at the beginning of the file name, the date of the show, whatever mics that are used, the taper's name, the generation of the recording. So if it's a master, like a digital master, it's always usually zero. If it's a cassette or like a dub, you know, you can have 1, 2, 3, X, what, however many. It just says like, you know, what file type is it? Is it an MP3? Some recordings were only done in MP3, so that's the best that you're going to get. But most are FLAC, and people it's nice when people send me the 24-bit and the 16-bit files if, you know, they did record in 24-bit, just so you have the highest bit rate and resolution of the files available. So those are, that's pretty much all that I do in terms of things for the archive.
What is the turnaround time for someone sending you a file and you being able to put it on the site? Is it pretty quick?
The rate limiting step is my internet connection. So like my internet is not the best here at my house, but you know, if I'm at school, like it's ridiculous. It's super fast. So, you know, it can, if someone sends me it and I can create the zip file pretty quick, I would say probably half an hour to 40 minutes. It just kind of depends if I have time to do it, which, you know, I try and make time for it at least. So,
do you have a personal favorite recording or show that's on the archive?
You know, I just put out like a top 10-ish recordings. You know, it just kind of depends on the day. Like, you know, I do re-listen to a lot of like my own recordings, and that's pretty much what I listen to. So, you know, I love the Toledo 06 show that I recorded, and not all of them are like super great in quality. It's just because, you know, hey, I taped them myself.
Got those like memories associated or tied.
Yeah. And then, you know, my Clarkston 2014 tape. I really like that one. Someone let me borrow their really expensive Shep CCM4s. I think they're like $2,000 a piece, like the mic. So, you know, but the tape came out excellent. And then I really do like my Day for Night Festival recording from Houston in 2017, even though it was, you know, cut short because of like the pouring rain. It was just, I think the whole pouring rain and just the music itself, it was super awesome. So yeah, those are some of my favorite ones. And then obviously the last Palladium show during the 2018 tour, that's a pretty good one.
Is there a White Whale recording for you of a show that you know that was played or was taped, but you just don't have your hands on it yet?
There's like a bunch of, you know, I've got a notebook full of just notes. I might see some things online of people that have said, hey, like I have this or that. You know, there's a few soundboards out there, and, you know, I don't know if we'll get into it, but everyone talks about the Rome 2009 soundboard that's on the archive. And, you know, I'm kind of holding off on that. It sounds terrible, but like when you literally share everything that you have in your possession and you have no leverage to get anything else, you have to hold one thing back. And that's literally the only thing that I have as leverage. So if there ever was something to come up and, you know, I have nothing to give someone else, that would be a huge bummer.
Yeah, because all your stuff is on the archive.
Exactly. I don't hold back anything. Like it's all on there. And, you know, I try and, you know, share everything that I possibly have. It just is a matter of, you know, having the time to share everything or get it uploaded. You know, I know there's a few soundboards from like the early 90s that I probably will never get, but I know they're out there. There's another pre-FM from 2000, like one of the European festivals. I can't remember. I haven't been able to get my hands on that. And then there's a bunch of like, you know, audience recordings, especially in Europe. Europe has been very hard to get audience recordings. Everyone over in the States does share pretty freely, but it's really hard to get them from European tapers, or like they even respond to some of my messages. So
what's the story behind that Rome one that you have? Is there anything special there?
So all it was, I just released the torrent of the NinDrive, which is pretty much a torrent that has every source on the archive in a torrent file. And so it took a while for me to just get everything properly tagged and made sure that everything was right. And once I did, I just sent it to a guy. There was a person at K-Rock that was always emailing me like, you know, news stuff to share on the archives Twitter feed and whatever. And I was just like, hey, can you just share this out? 'Cause like I've been doing you a solid for like, you know, the last couple months. And all of a sudden that happened and it just exploded, you know, like Spin, Rolling Stone got a hold of it, you know, Consequence of Sound. And it was pretty overwhelming. I got a lot of emails and stuff like that and it was great. But then I got one email just out of the blue where this person, you know, they didn't say their name or anything like that. And they were just like, hey, I've been sitting on this for a while. You know, here it is. Use it how you can. And so I was like, well, this is literally the only thing that I have to hold back just to see if I can get something. Because I just released the K-Rock 2005 board. So I thought that would hold some people over while I'm still trying to gather some more sources or at least get something nice. But it's pretty much just a 2009, like, super raw board. There's no crowd feed. I'm not trying to like, you know, dangle it in front of everyone. I actually don't prefer it. And I've only listened to it a couple times. I'd rather listen to an audience recording that's really good over any sort of board feed, but that's pretty much just all it, that's just all it is.
Yeah. It's probably just one of those things of, you know, if somebody knows that you have something that they don't have and we, you know, fans just, we want to listen to it.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things that like, it's never going to be good enough. There's always going to be some new thing that we want that we haven't heard yet.
Right.
In terms of copyright or the label, have you run into any issues with either of those?
I haven't.
Those kinds of things?
Yeah, I haven't had any problems with the labels. The only thing that I've ever gotten in trouble with was the Grammys when they performed. It was in 2014. I had put the video and the audio rip up and literally 10 hours later, I got a message that said like, this is Grammy property. Like you need to delete this from your servers immediately. And, I didn't take that, you know, lightly. So I responded back quickly. I said, hey, it's off my server. It'll never be on there. Yeah, I've never had any problems. And especially with Trent Stance, you know, going back to 2009, where he did that tape open taping policy, I kind of felt like that was like the green light. And then right after that, you know, I had talked to Rob Sheridan, their art director, just to see what Trent, what his stance was. And Rob told me that Trent said, you know, this is great. We think it's awesome. It gets us kind of closer to the fans. So you have, you know, our blessing. That was kind of it. So I've just kind of saved that email.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then ever since then, you know, I just started uploading shows. So I've been really lucky in that sense where I haven't had any legal issues. If that ever did arise, you know, I think I'd be able to get in contact with someone.
I think it's one of those things of the artist might have their opinion on something, but it's not always that cut and dry. I think you have a pretty good, you know, a clearance from Trent directly, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, you know, the label or the venue has, you know, a little bit more say in that kind of a thing.
Right. And I talked with Trent in Atlanta during last year's tour about this. And, you know, he just said, you know, the reason why they don't allow open taping at this point in time is just because, you know, he wants everything to be, you know, perfect. And in terms of, you know, there might be a little mishap that happens and he can't control what gets out there in terms of recordings. And then, you know, some people bring in, I mean, it is what it is. Like they bring in some terrible equipment. So the quality is going to be bad, whatever's released. You know, I think most tapers are very, you know, they have great equipment, but you know, there's some people that just want to have like a little token. So I think that's kind of the reason why there's no official taping policy, but he kind of was just, it pretty much barreled down to, if you bring your stuff in and you get it in, you know, we're not going to help you get it in, but we're not going to stop you.
Yeah. With that whole thing with Trent in Atlanta, being able to talk to him, do you want to tell that story here?
Yeah. I did make a few posts because it was kind of a community effort kind of deal. Like I'd been sitting there and, you know, I'd never met him. And I mean, I'd been running the site for, you know, close to 10 years at that point. And my brother was just like, you know, cause my brother and I, we really bonded over, you know, Nine Inch Nails when we were in high school and stuff. and went to a bunch of shows and whatnot. So he was just like, you know what, man, you just need to put it out in the universe. Just see what happens. Like, that's all you can do. So, you know, I made a Twitter message. Just like, all I want to do is shake his hand. Like, that's it. I don't need anything else. And that's it. I never have to meet him again, if it comes down to it. And then later that day, I mean, it did get some traction on Twitter or whatnot. And then later that day, I got a message, an email from their tour manager. And I was like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, all right, like, this isn't real. Like, someone's playing a joke on me, whatever. And, you know, they had their cell phone and everything. And, you know, I messaged back and they're like, okay, great. Like, we'll meet you at such and such place, you know, at the Fox Theater, you know, make sure you're there. You know, you bring one person kind of deal. And I was like, all right, like, we're doing this. And, you know, so we went, you know, early, and, you know, we got to the side stage and, you know, they brought us up and we went up to the dressing room, talked for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, everyone was super nice. And, you know, I talked to a few people before and they say, like, you know, when you meet, you know, your idols or whatnot, like, it goes so quick, and it really does. But we asked a bunch of questions, and I mean, you can read it, you know, the post on Echoing the Sound, because it's still there. But, you know, it was just great to just shake their hands and, you know, just say how much we appreciate, you know, their music. And, you know, it was not like over the top fanboyism. I mean, you would think with me running the archive, I'd be like, you know, gushing, but it was more just like, you know, I just wanted to say, thank you so much. You know, you've brought a lot of joy and happiness to my life. And, you know, my brother and I are closer just because of listening to your music and stuff like that. So yeah, and that was it. And, you know, I'm not like trying to go seek and, you know, take pictures or anything anymore. It was just like, that's it. That's all I wanted to do. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I know when I saw your posts about it, I was like super jealous, but I'm glad you're able to enjoy it. In terms of like listening to the tapes, and, you know, has there been any crazy banter that's popped up that you've overheard?
You're just talking overall. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, you have some people where, like, it might not be a Nine Inch Nails tape, but I've heard people, you know, drunkenly scream into someone's mics, and that's kind of annoying.
Yeah, that's irritating.
But I've never heard anything like crazy banter or anything, or something, nothing out of the ordinary. You think I would, but yeah, I can't say I've listened to every recording on the archive. But I mean, I listen to bits and pieces, and then, you know, the ones that are really good or that I really like, I listen to the full thing. But usually if I'm listening to the full thing, they're pretty much like perfect tape. So
I know there are other archives that exist for other bands, like I believe there's a Nirvana one. But do you have any tips for people who want to contribute to, you know, your archive or another band's archive?
Yeah. So I think one of the big reasons why I started the Nine Inch Nails one is I have a friend, his name's Mark Terrell. He runs the Linkin Park Live website, and he pretty much got me started on the Nine Inch Nails one. And he hooked me up, like helped me design the website. The first one at the time, it was great, but looking back, like, there was not a lot of functionality with it. But just to get something off the ground, it was awesome to have him there. And, you know, if you go to lplive.net, it's a very extensive catalog for Linkin Park. And I thought it was great. And I really wanted to do something like that for Nine Inch Nails. And like you said, Nirvana has one. Depeche Mode has a really great one too. It's like a Wikipedia of Depeche Mode Live. Matt does a great job there. There's other ones too. Brand New has an archive. They've just kind of moved everything to archive.org. They don't really have a website per se, but there's a guy that, you know, he stores all the live recordings and stuff like that. So I just appreciate any person that does something like this, because I understand how much work is involved in it. But with, you know, if you want to contribute, it does you know, you have to get some decent equipment. I mean, you could do like your iPhone and stuff, but you know, quality is better than quantity. So if you do, I mean, get some proper equipment, and it doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah, I think there's guides online of people who have a lot of experience doing this. You could probably look one of those up and have some pretty good details.
Yeah.
On how to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, if you do tape or film partial of a show, I think that's awesome. And I mean, I would take it, you know, we're always welcome to new sources and it'd be really great. You know, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube, that I wish I could have like the raw footage and stuff like that, but it's very hard to get those filmers, their sources and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just, if you're aware of the archive and you think that you can contribute some stuff, that'd be great.
So what is the future for NinLive? I know you talked about video and adding that, but is there anything else that you've kind of got in mind to add in the future?
Oh man. I mean, there's, you know, I've got, just like I told you, I have this book that's just NinLive, like site, you know, the sources that I don't have and that I really want. And then I have just things that I want to be able to do with the website. You know, one thing I one day, hopefully this will happen, is maybe I can have like a streaming, service for some of the audio recordings. And when I mean streaming service, like it just runs off the site itself, maybe more.
Yeah. Because at this point you have to download, the files or zip of the files. And just listen to them yourself.
Yeah. And then maybe like a better search feature. I think a lot of people have been asking me about that. You know, they say like, you know, I just want to hear the professional recordings, you know, and I made a page for it, but I think some people would just rather filter through. So yeah, just a better search functionality and maybe just give the whole site a bit of an overhaul. You know, I had talked with Matt from the Nin Hotline and he's going to help me out. You know, this is, it's more of just like talk at this moment, just because, you know, I'm pretty busy. But hopefully when I'm done with school, take a year off, and myself, I've got to get better at just learning code and, you know, running a website. So definitely want to take some classes just to get better at it. So yeah, I mean, those are just some of the big ones that I want to be able to do.
And then people can contribute to you directly if they wanted to, on their website, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's still a GoFundMe going on. And you know, people have been very, very generous, and I am very appreciative of all of that. You know, being in school right now, you know, it's times are a little tough in terms of finances, and it's been great to have the community behind, just helping me with the site, keeping it going. And I know I haven't really updated people on that regard, you know, for a while now, but I hope people seeing like I continually keep uploading stuff that, you know, I want to make sure that, hey, like, you know, I'm putting in an effort, but also, probably at the end of the year, I just kind of put something on the archive today. Hopefully we'll have the How to Destroy Angel Chicago Blu-ray release, at the end of the year. So I put like a form up for it. Like you can put your email in if you're interested. And then anyone that, you know, I think anyone that has supported the archive with, you know, the financial through GoFundMe, I'm going to try and find a way to make sure that they all get copies if they'd like them. So, yeah.
And I hope that people kind of understand that you're just one guy doing this on the side as like a passion project. And it's not like this is your job or anything. This is just you doing a service for all of us.
Yeah. I really enjoy doing it. You know, it makes me feel good that people can find concerts that they've been to. And like, if I get emails and stuff like that, and it says like, hey, you know, I went to this show like 20 years ago and I can't believe that I'm able to relive it. Cause like, I know how important music is to me. And I can only imagine it's just like that or even more for someone else. So it just makes me feel good that people can relive the experience, and go to this site And, you know, it's nice that people out there, you know, there's a lot of people out there that actually use the site, you know, on a daily basis. And it's just a nice way to be able to talk with fan, like other fans of the band. Cause, you know, not a lot of my friends, you know, listen to Nine Inch Nails or some of the other bands that I listen to. So it's just nice to be able to connect with other people and just talk about, you know, some of my interests as well. So it's just awesome all around.
So the website, if people want to check it out, is ninlive.com, and you have the Twitter account. I believe it's at ninlive.
Yep.
So if people want to check you out or check out the archive, that's where they can do it. Or if they want to contribute to recordings or financially, that's where they can do it. Ryan, thank you for sitting down and talking with me. It was fun.
Yeah, no worries. It was my pleasure, Tyler. Thanks for having me.